The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio with husband and wife vintners Roger and Donna Beery. If you've ever been interested in starting your own winery or just learning a little more about wine and what goes on behind the bottle, stay tuned for the next hour. Now, here are Roger and Donna.
Welcome to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. We have a special Halloween show for you today. Our guest will be the Count of Buena Vista, Count Hargesty, who was a wine pioneer in the 1860s at Buena Vista Vineyard in southern Sonoma County. And he will be with us talking about his life in the 1860s, coming from Hungary and falling in love with Sonoma County, starting Buena Vista Winery. And then later we'll talk about the restoration of Buena Vista Winery. And if you have not been there in the last few years, it is pretty amazing. The Boissier family bought the winery, and the amount of money that they've done to restore those historic stone buildings and make them earthquake proof has been amazing. The wines are amazing, and so we're really looking forward to having the Count. So Donna, what's in your glass this morning?
Well, this morning in my glass is the Buena Vista 2012 Private Reserve Chardonnay in honor of the Count. I'm also kind of alternating that with hot coffee. Roger, what's in your glass?
Well, I have hot coffee as well because Don and I are both fighting a cold, so we hope we don't cough at you too much. But it's been a wonderful week. We've been back out in Sonoma County. You may recall last week we broadcasted from Cartograph Wines, where our guest was Alan Baker. So we've been out this week. It's been a really fun time. I want to share a few of the things with you. First off is we went to the Jordan Winery Halloween Party, which is John Jordan, who will be our guest next week, does an amazing job with this party every year. Every year has a theme. This year it was Star Wars. The wines are amazing. The costumes are amazing. The food's amazing. The company's amazing. The band's amazing. Other than that, it's no fun at all.
Well, I just want to mention to our listeners that this is John Jordan's very, very kind way of bringing out his industry and media people. So, you know, it's invitation only, but he likes to do this great party for us every year to pay us back for, you know, distributing or marketing, help market Jordan wines.
And if you go on the Jordan fan page, look for the pictures of Donna and myself, especially Donna in her cute little X-Wing Commander dress.
And what else did we do this weekend that was fun?
Sunday was Pinot on the River, is the official name. It's called Pinot on the Plaza to locals. And it is a festival of Pinot Noir that is held each year in the town plaza of Healdsburg. And you end up with so many small producers. There are people that you never find in your stores, people that make 200, 300, 400, 500,000 cases of wine. You know, it's really exciting. Some of the wines that we really enjoyed this year were Bucher Vineyards, and you see other wineries make Pinot from Bucher. What else did you like, Donna?
Oh, you know, gosh, there's so many. And, you know, I was talking to the lady in the tasting room that you end up going back to your favorites and you need to try to break out and find some new ones. But as always, you know, the McPhails were there pouring their wine. I love their wine. Ed Thralls was pouring his family wine, which is great. The Koblers were pouring. Alan Baker was pouring from Cartograph. Those are some of my favorites. Did you find any new ones?
Well, it wasn't a new one, but I hadn't had the new releases, and that's Massoot.
Oh, yeah. It was that was great to stop by and visit with them.
Yeah, Masut. And those wines, are made in Mendocino County, which is also a very good area for Pinot Noir.
And this event benefits the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Sonoma County, so I definitely would put it on your calendar for next year. It is a very, very nicely done event. Also, coming up this weekend is one of my favorite events. So on November 2nd and 3rd, you have the Wine and Food Affair put on by Wine Roads, and it's from 11 to 4 p.m. Tickets are $70 for the weekend, $50 just for Sunday, $30 for a designated driver. They feature over 170 wineries, and you get a cookbook. And what's great about the cookbook is that each winery has a recipe in the cookbook, and they're actually preparing that for you each of the 2 days, and they pair it with the perfect wine that they make to go with their recipe. So really nicely done affair also.
It is. It's a very reasonable price, and you drive around to the different wineries. So unlike Pinot on the River, where everyone is right there in the plaza, you visit the wineries. The wineries will pour anywhere from, you know, 2 to 5 wines as part of your, you know, wristband fee. But on the other hand, they will have one food that will pair best with one of their wines, although oftentimes it will pair with many of their wines. And the recipes are everything from, you know, expensively catered to, you know, mama's jambalaya recipe.
Yeah, a lady also asked me yesterday, you know, well, do they cater these events, the wineries? I said, well, some wineries have their own kitchens and staff, and some wineries do hook up with local caterers, but sometimes you're going to have the winemaker making his famous, you know, 5-bean chili. So he got up early in the morning and started cooking, and he's got his little crock pot going and gives you, you know, a great serving. And so, yeah, I think it's one of the most fun, well-done events here in the county.
Yeah, and it's all up here in northern Sonoma. And one of the other nice things, we'll get back to some of our you know, questions that everyone's afraid to ask about wine. But one of the nice things about it is you can go on Wine Road. It's not Wine Road. It's WineRoadSingular.com. And you can see all the wineries that are there, and you can go through and just put a check in the by the box by each winery name, and then they create a map for you. And that way you can see you know, the groupings and make it minimal driving. And
well, you can also work it out that if you don't want to drive, you could just stay in the town of Hillsburg, and all the tasting rooms around Hillsburg participate, and you could have a fun day just going around to all the tasting rooms and not worry about driving.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So, Donna, why don't we get on to some of our questions?
Okay. let's see. Excuse me. The one I'd like you to answer first would be, white grapes or green grapes make white wine, and red grapes make red wine. And if you would, talk about, you know, how you get the pink wines, the dry rosés.
Okay. So, generally, yes, white grapes, or sometimes they're yellow, sometimes they're greenish, make white wines. But interestingly enough, when you squeeze a red grape, you get, in most cases, an almost white juice. And the red actually comes from the skins and the tannins, and that's what brings a lot of that big, bold flavor into red wine. So most times, white wines, when the grapes come in, the grapes are crushed and pressed, and you ferment just the juice. But with red wines, you bring the grapes in, you may crush the grapes, but you don't press them normally, and you ferment the juice and the skins and the seeds all together, sometimes the stems, that's called whole clusters, and so that's what gives those red flavors. But what makes a pink wine pink is normally those red grapes, like that Pinot Noir, is crushed, and some of the juice is bled off with skin contact of maybe just an hour or two. And that gives it that pretty rosé color. And then it's fermented like a normal white wine without the skins.
On that note, now that we know what makes the different color wines, why are certain grapes only grown in certain regions? If I go to Napa Valley, I should drink Cabernets. If I'm over here in the Russian River Valley, I should drink Pinot Noirs because that's what they're known for. Why?
Well, and that's very interesting. So our friend James Reddick, who is Russian River Vineyard. This morning, I was talking to him about some great questions that he gets from his guests. And Russian River Vineyards near the town of Forestville is one that we highly recommend. The wines are fantastic. It's an amazing setting, and they've got a great restaurant there, Cork's Restaurant.
Absolutely.
So a little free plug there for Russian River and Cork's Restaurant, one of our favorite spots, especially if you want to eat lunch in a winery setting. But why do certain grapes grow in certain areas? Some grapes like cool weather, some grapes like hot weather, some grapes like being grown in fog, like Pinot Noir, and others, you know, like warmer weather, like Cabernet. And so that's one of the reasons that you see a lot of times when you go to a place like Napa Valley, you will see, you know, predominantly Cabernet. Cabernet is king in Napa Valley, and you see very little Pinot Noir because the soil, the heat, the wind flow just doesn't work very well for Pinot Noir. You see Chardonnay done well there. You see all the other varieties that go into blending with Cabernet and Sauvignon Blanc. So that's what grows well over there. You get into the Russian River Valley, and you've got, you know, predominantly Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. But you do get some interesting, like Zinfandel. Much of that was what was planted pre-prohibition, where people just planted what they wanted to grow, where they wanted to grow, without a lot of thought to what grows well there. And then up here in northern Sonoma, right next to Russian River, you have Dry Creek, which is a little hotter growing climate. And so they get things like Cabernet, but they're famous for their old vine Zinfandel. And you just go, you know, a little ways over and you're in the Alexander Valley, which is Jordan that we mentioned earlier is there. And they're famous for their Cabernets and other wines like you might find over in Napa. So it's really growing climate and soils that make the difference. So I want to talk a little bit about sulfides. Sulfides we hear about a lot, and people say, I'm allergic to sulfides, I drink red wine, I can't drink red wine because I get a headache, and it's the sulfides. And sulfides kind of get a bad rap. And sulfur is used in wines as a preservative. Most wineries use as little sulfur as possible, but you still need something to stabilize that wine so that by the time it leaves the winery, gets on a truck, goes to Chicago, sits in the warehouse, goes to the liquor store, ends up in your home, it's still a good wine. But sulfides get a bad rap. And so those of you who think you're sensitive to sulfides, it's a very, very small percentage of the population that is. And there are a lot more sulfides in bacon, processed meats, cheeses, and other things that people eat all the time. And, you know, I ask people, they say, well, I'm sensitive. I get headaches from red wine because of sulfites. Do you get headaches from eating bacon? No, I love bacon. So it isn't sulfites. But what it may be is the histamines. And the histamines are the same thing that cause the allergies that are causing me to cough today. And what you might try is taking a Claritin before you drink your red wine and see if that helps. Or you can take a Benadryl, drink your red wine, and just go to bed.
Okay. I think a lot of people here, you know, that now we've made our wine and we're going to, you know, put it in the barrel. And a lot is mentioned between the difference between, obviously, the barrels are oak, but American versus French oak. I mean, obviously, one barrel comes from America, one barrel comes from France. But what is the real difference between these barrels?
Well, they're both oak.
Yeah.
They're both oak. So it's American oak and French oak. And generally, the answer is that American oak, you're going to get a much bolder, oakier flavor, where French oak is a much more subtle flavor, a more feminine flavor, if you will. And so, you know, two of the most popular Cabernets in steakhouses, and they sort of bounce back year after year as to which one is the most popular, are Jordan and Silver Oak. And Jordan uses 100% French oak, and they're very proud of that. Silver Oak uses 100% American oak, and they're very proud of that too. And those are both very good wines, but I think if you taste them side by side, you sort of get the more masculine sense of the oak and the Silver Oak and the more feminine aspects of French oak in the Jordan.
I agree with that totally. Why don't we talk about the age of the barrels? Because obviously a new barrel would give off more oak, where, you know, the older it gets off less oak.
True. So you'll hear things like, well, we aged this in 20% new oak and the rest was neutral oak. So new oak is just what it sounds. It's a new barrel and it's going to put out a lot of those oak tannins, those vanilla flavors, and those flavors that you get from oak, where a neutral barrel may just soften the edges, take some of the acidity, give the wine a more rounded, pleasant feel. And so a lot of winemakers will mix using a percentage of new oak and a percentage of neutral oak to get that balance of oak that they're looking for. So the oak is an influencer and not overpowering. Well, we're coming up on a break. Please stick with us. Check us out at BacchusandBeery.com. And coming up, I think you're going to be amazed when we talk to the Count of Buena Vista.
News, opinion, passion. Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
For 27 years, Kidstar has empowered thousands of kids across the country.
And now we have the opportunity to empower children around the world.
Kidstar is announcing a new radio show called Voyage Earth.
Voyage Earth will empower kids from across the world.
Kidstar has created a Kickstarter campaign just for this new undertaking. By pledging to Kickstarter, you pledge for a future of empowered people to come.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworms. I want to thank you for being a backer of our Kickstarter.
Kidstar, we empower kids.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. To reach Donna and Roger Beery or this week's guest, please call into our show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Roger at BacchusandBeery.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio, our Halloween show. where we are joined by the ghost of Count Hargesty of Buena Vista Winery. Welcome, Count.
Thank you, Mr. Beery.
Well, you have traveled a long way, and you now have a beautiful winery once again. But tell us a little bit about the Count and how you came to Sonoma County and why you started making wine here in the 1860s.
Ah, thank you. And I cherish this opportunity to tell this story on this amazing new medium. I have always been a believer in technological progress and this new thing called radio and internet radio is an amazing thing. To answer your question, I am a Hungarian. I began making wine in my native Hungary as a young lad in the 1820s. I came to America in the 1840s with the dream to make great European wine in America. Well, I found the Sonoma Valley and began Buena Vista Winery in 1857. I realized my search was at an end. And Buena Vista was the grandest, most successful winery in all of California.
And what grapes did you start with at Buena Vista? What did you bring with you?
A good question. When I first arrived at Buena Vista, the predominant plantings, which had already taken place as I purchased a land which had a vineyard on it as early as 1832. The grapes had been planted by a mission Indian who had been taught how to make grapes by the Franciscan fathers and make wine from the grapes. You get a winery, but he used what we now call the mission grape now. At the time, we now know it as a Liston Prieto, a grape from the Canary Islands. It is a vinifera grape. The majority of grapes at first were this grape, but I began bringing grapevines in from Europe as early as the 1850s. There was a lot of commerce, of course. Buena Vista is in Sonoma, California, right across from the San Francisco, so a lot of importation already with vinifera. And then in 1861, I went to Europe to bring back vinifera. I brought back 353 varieties of grapes. And so all of the grapes well known today I possessed, and many that now have fallen into disfavor.
So give us some of the names of these 353 varieties. How many cuttings did you bring to bring back 353 varieties?
Well, the number was 100,000 cuttings. Of course, I brought back Pinot Noir and Cabernet. I brought back a grape called Black St. Peter's, which may or may not have been Zinfandel. I also brought a grape called Zinfandel. The Croatian varieties, Hungarian varieties. I brought Furmint in. I brought Italian varietals, Nebbiolo. I brought in the Sangiovese. All of the Bordeaux varietals. I went to Spain as well. I brought in Tempranillo. So, as you know, you're a famous wine blogger. I've learned this word blog. the world of wine has constricted to just a few grape varieties now.
It has. Now, I assume that when you brought these 100,000 clippings, that you didn't have the 2-bag limit that we face today.
No, it was quite an assemblage of grapes, and my dream, Mr. Beery, was not just to make great wine, but to build an industry. And so I shared my cuttings with people throughout California. And this is one reason why today I am known as the father of California viniculture.
And you put together an organization to study viticulture, did you not?
Well, the Buena Vista Viticultural Society, the corporation I founded in 1863, March 27th of that year, was dedicated, well, it was to making great wine, but to commercial. I mean, it was intended to be a profit-making enterprise.
You say intended to be. was it a profit-making enterprise for you, Count?
Sadly, sir, no. This is the great tragedy of my life.
Would you share that with us?
Well, yes, I will. In 1857, when it had begun, by 1861, I had possessed 250 acres of grapevines. By 1865, 500 acres of grapevines, and Buena Vista was the largest contiguous vineyard upon the face of the earth. Sadly, an unknown vine disease had destroyed my grapevines, only a few at first, starting in 1860. The leaves turning yellow and brown, the grapes small and hard with no flavor. And this unknown vine disease appeared first at my vineyards in Sonoma in 1860. By 1866, half the vineyards were dead of this unknown vine disease. Even though I had tried everything, I had put lime into the soil, flooded the vineyards, I applied sulfur to the vines, but nothing would stop the death of my vines.
And does this unknown vine disease have a name today?
It does. It is, of course, the dreaded phylloxera. The
hated
wine louse, the scourge of the grapes. It is all, of course, now we call it part of the Columbian Exchange, the exchange of flora and fauna from the old to the new and the new to the old. It is an American bug, sir. It is an American bug. This point is often neglected when discussing the sad tale of the world of wine.
It is an American bug, but of course, one of my fellow Texans was the one who discovered the answer to this bug.
Yes, Professor Munson, of course.
Yes.
I thank you and your fellow Texan and all Texans in general for this remarkable achievement. And sadly, I went to my death in 1869 never knowing the cause of the death of the vines. This root louse eats away the roots but stays below the soil, except for a very small period of its lifespan. And I had never seen the bug. I pulled the grapevines out of the ground when they were quite dead, looked carefully at the roots. But by then, the root louse had jumped off the roots and gone back into the soil. So, in a final tragic irony, sir, I never knew. It wasn't my fault, the death of my vines.
I see. So, you did a few other things as well, did you not?
Well, yes. A remarkably full and exciting life. Upon arrival in Wisconsin, I found that a town is now called Sauk City, Wisconsin. It was called Horsey Town when I was there. I had the first shipping line on the upper Mississippi. I piloted my boat, the Rock River, from Horsey Town all the way to New Orleans on six different occasions. Upon arrival in San Diego in 1849 with the gold rush, I was elected to the very first sheriff of San Diego County. I was made the first assayer of the U.S. Mint in San Francisco in 1853.
Was there anybody famous in your prison?
I forgive you the question, and I will only comment that even though I was charged with embezzlement in 1857, I never set foot in a prison, sir. There was an expensive parole, I suppose. But in 1861, Judge McAllister declared me innocent of all civil and criminal charges. It was inefficiencies in the smelting process, sir. Resulted in the loss of the $150,000 of gold.
Well, I guess what I really meant by my question was, while you were sheriff, were there any other famous people in your prison?
There's a man named Judge Roy Bean, and he was not in my prison, and he was associated with Southern California after my leaving. And some people have said that I knew him. Sadly, I did not.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah. And so you took your adventures south of the border before your passing?
South of the border, yes, indeed. Well, thank you for the this question. In 1868, I went to Nicaragua to make rum and rebuild my fortune.
And what happened to you there?
Oh, well, this is a truly sad part of the story. Although my rum venture was doing extraordinarily well, I had brought in the finest of distillation equipment, formed a partnership with a sugarcane plantation owner. I fell into a crocodile-infested river on July 6, 1869, and was consumed by a crocodile.
Now, there is a crocodile at Buena Vista Winery. Do you know him personally?
Well, I'm acquainted with the fellow. It is not the same crocodile. Mine was a good 14 feet long. I didn't get a really good look at him before he, grabbing his awful jaw, thrashed me around and around, drowned me and stuffed me beneath a rock where he let me soften up for several weeks until he finally consumed me.
Wow, what an interesting life and amazing memory you have.
Well, I was brought back to life recently by a man named Jean-Charles Boisset, and he is the charismatic winery owner who is a Burgundian and owns 27 wineries around the world with his family, and he brought me back to life, and nothing is impossible for Jean-Charles Boisset.
Well, true, and Jean-Charles was the very first guest on Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio, so those who tuned in will remember him. Before we get to your modern life, though, I do want to ask you about some of the what were cutting-edge winemaking techniques that you brought to Buena Vista before the phylloxera.
Hey, that's a far more pleasant thing to discuss. I am known as the father of California viniculture because I was the first to advise hillside planting, dry farming, stressing the vines by using no water at all, reducing yield, and then planting grapevines closer together to stress and thereby reduce yield. As you know, great wine made in the vineyard, not in a winery, and this lesson of reducing yield to improve quality was the lesson I brought to California in the 1850s.
I see. And you, was it not the first gravity flow winery in the United States as well?
I thank you, sir. Yes, in 1862, I built what was not only the very first stone winery building in California, but the first gravity flow, as it's up against the hill of the Mayacama, a road in back, the grapes loaded from the road directly to the second floor, crushed and vinified, the juice get gently going down through hoses, but without gravity, without pumping, with gravity, just not pumping it, to the cellar where the wine was aged. And pumps can bruise the wine and take away some of the flavor.
Yes, and obviously back then the pumps were not quite as sophisticated as they are today.
Oh, it is remarkable seeing the technology now. I am always pleased to have been brought back to life to witness the great advance. And yet at Buena Vista, in this cellar, we make wine not particularly differently than the way we did before. We use open-top fermenters, Burgundian. We do have a Spanish press. It is much like the Basque presses I used, but we're able to control the cycles of pressure in a way not done before. It produces less astringency, and I wish I had had it back then.
Well, back in your day, the winery was going on. It shut down for a while. It was bought. And now Jean-Charles has restored it to a new level of magnificence. So tell us a little bit before we go to break about the history of the winery after the phylloxera and up until Jean-Charles rescued the winery.
Certainly. After my death by crocodile, the Buena Vista Viticultural Society continued without me. They produced wine until 1878. Although the vineyards were dwindling, the grapes that existed did make some very good wine. And in 1873, we won a large award in a European competition. Also another award in 1876, Vienna, in London, and Buena Vista wine shipped all the way to all over the world. Now, in 1878, Buena Vista closed its doors, and the two large stone buildings that visitors can see today at Buena Vista Winery in Sonoma were big, empty, large stone buildings known in the but bats and ghosts. And in 1945, the winery purchased by a man named Frank Bartholomew. In 1949, the first vintage, he began making wine again. Andrei Chelischev, a man known as the father of modern California viniculture, became the first winemaker for the new Buena Vista, and excellent wine made by Buena Vista in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Into the 90s, Andre died in 1994, but he stayed the winemaker for Buena Vista until his death, sadly, although he lived to be 81, so I suppose that's a nice age. Now, since 2000...
Count, let me introduce you, let me interrupt you there, and we're going to take a short break, and when we're back, we'll have more with Count Hargesty of Buena Vista Winery.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune into the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. To reach Donna and Roger Beery or this week's guest, please call into our show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to roger@bacchusandberry.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. Please check us out at bacchusandberry.com and on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Bacchus and Beery. Lots of interesting stuff. Lots of wine information and wine fun, because wine should always be fun. And speaking of fun, we have brought back, with the help of Jean-Charles Boisset, the Count of Buena Vista, Count Hargesty. Welcome back, Count.
Thank you, Mr. Beery.
My pleasure. So, when you were making wine at Buena Vista, back before your untimely meeting with the crocodile.
Yes, thank you.
Did
you spoke earlier about bringing all these different wine varieties over. Did you ever bottle any varietal wines like we see today? Pinot Noirs, Zinfandels, Cabernets, single variety wines. Did you ever bottle those?
A good question. You see, single varietals are a modern notion. I always blended the grapes together, and in the large picture, by blending different grape varieties together, we receive varied flavors without extensive bottle aging. And so I never bottled what we now call a single varietal. I used the geographic place names of Europe, as was common at the time. I bottled a Rhine, a Moselle, a Burgundy, a Chablis. I had proprietary names. I bottled a wine called El Dorado Claret. It is a fine name, I think.
Indeed.
So never a single varietal. Always a blend.
I see. Do you remember what was in the El Dorado Claret?
Well, there was some Zinfandel in it, as I am very fond of this grape. It does extraordinarily well in California. And many people have declared that I was the first to bring Zinfandel to California. Sadly, Mr. Berry, it appears that I misplaced the papers proving this to be the case.
Yes, that is a disputed viticulture fact.
Yes, yes, they have been arguing about this for over 150 years now.
So let's jump back to your modern reincarnation at Buena Vista and talk to us a little bit about the Buena Vista before John Charles purchased the property and the amazing transformation that has happened since it came into his family of wineries.
Well, thank you. I am very fond of Mr. Boisset. He did bring me back to life. Hard to do better than that for someone, I suppose. Buena Vista, between 2001 and 2011, had been owned by five different corporate owners, including large wine associations. And the wine was... And it was problematic, you see, to have all these different corporate owners all in a short period of time. When Jean Charles bought the winery in May of 2011, he was told that there was a significant problem with Buena Vista, and that was our champagne cellars. The second very large building on the property, the building that I built in 1864. Now, this building had been damaged by the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake so severely, it was condemned and closed. And so Jean-Charles, in 2012, January, launched an earthquake retrofit to save the building from a future violent earth disturbance.
And, much like the one 2 months ago.
Well, it's an astonishing tale, your comment is correct. We did have a rather large earthquake here, and there was no damage to my champagne cellars at all. And the next day, these people called seismic engineers came, and they told us there was no damage, but if we had not done the retrofit, that my building, the most interesting and important stone winery building in California, would be a pile of rubble today.
Well, luckily it's not. So tell us a bit about the experience, because there's probably some people that either went to Buena Vista years ago or bought the wines when they were not being as carefully made as they are today, and maybe don't have the positive image of Buena Vista either as an experience or a wine that they would have today if they either visited or bought the wines in their local boutique wine shop.
Yeah, indeed. There was nothing like visiting this special canyon of the Mayacama. We're in the Sonoma Valley. We are only about a 6-minute drive from the town of Sonoma, from the plaza in the southern portion of Sonoma County. As you walk down the road from the parking lot, you enter this beautiful canyon of the Mayacama. It is peaceful. It is remarkably fragrant with eucalyptus trees, bay laurel, And at the winery itself, we have a variety of experiences. We do a barrel tasting where you go into the single most important historic wine cave in California, taste right out of the barrel. We also have a blending seminar, which is quite interesting. It is an occasion where you taste four different wines. And then through skillful use of something called a graduated cylinder, you determine the percentages of each of the four wines and then make your own blend, which you bottle on the spot, and we, through the modern technology miracles of modern printing, we can make a label for you, your design, placed upon the bottle, and you leave with your own bottle and your own blend. And it is a lot of fun. They make very nice presents. And there's also something called a team building exercise that I've learned about, and these have proven to be very, very successful and fun.
And you keep records of these blends, so if a guest gets home and their friends enjoy the wine, they can order more. Isn't that correct?
That is indeed the point. And yes, it is an excellent way to learn about wine.
Yeah, indeed it is. Indeed it is. You have a few of your ghostly friends that, we are broadcasting here on Halloween Day, that inhabit the winery as well, I understand.
This is curiously true. I don't interact personally with them very much, but they have made themselves known to many of our visitors over the last 60 years. We have captured one of them on a camera. And there is no explanation for this, it is not impossible that a visitor may actually see a ghostly presence in our winery.
So now when you walk up to the winery, there are experiential posters, I guess for lack of a banners, that tell the history of the winery. The walkway is beautifully done. You've got two of the stone buildings that you built. One is the tasting room area. Another is the winery, where Buena Vista is making wine in that building once again. But tell us about, a lot of people may be familiar with the few Buena Vista wines that they can find in their local liquor store or wine shop. But tell us about the wines that they could experience when they visit the winery.
Yes, thank you. Well, we make a special type of wine available only at the winery or as a member of our wine club or something remarkable that I've learned about. It's called the Internet. In fact, this is what you are on, is it not?
It is. You are a ghost on the Internet today.
Yes. I have learned this amazing thing. So the wines available at the winery, small lots, some as small as 50 cases, generally around 300 cases. We have wines from all over Sonoma County. We're also making wines from vineyards directly next to our winery on the historic property I own. We have made prime reserve wines. We make a Zinfandel from a vineyard directly next door to our winery. It is remarkably delicious. And these small lot wines receive special oak, all the very finest in winemaking practices. We have Brian Maloney as our winemaker, and David Ramey, the famous consulting winemaker and a winemaker of his own winery, is our consultant, and his palate, remarkable, touches every one of our wines, and he works with us because he wants to see Buena Vista succeed to make as fine a wine as it did back in the 1860s, and even in the 1950s and 60s and 70s and 80s.
So, on just a side note, since you are from Hungary, do you make any wines in Hungarian oak?
Yes, we use American, French, and Hungarian, and Hungarian oak lends a spicy quality to the wine, and so many of our wines do possess Hungarian. Meshamar Zinfandel goes in a portion of Hungarian. The Count Founder's red wine has Hungarian. This is a blend available at stores all across America. There's a blend of Zinfandel, Syrah, Cabernet Merlot, and Carignan.
And that's the Count Founder's Reserve?
What's called the Count Founder's Red Wine. I'm very fond of it. There's a picture of myself upon the label, so it's easy to spot. This wine is one of our blends. We also make a wine called the Sheriff of Buena Vista, and this honors my time as the first sheriff of San Diego County in 1850 and 51. And this wine is as bold and powerful as those who wear a legendary badge.
The legendary badge. Now, the Count is a local actor named George Weber, who Don and I have gotten to know over the last few years. And George stays in character a lot of his time. And George, as the Count, how often are you at the winery?
Well, I am traveling across the United States and Canada in these flying metal tubes a third to a half of my time. But when I am not at the winery, our pod has been brought back to life, my son.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I believe the time I met you, you had flown in a metal tube, and
yes.
we were on Bourbon Street.
Yes, that is correct. Oh, it's all true about New Orleans, everything they say. Yes, it hasn't changed much since I visited there in 1843. It is still the same remarkable place where freedom is a living thing.
Yes, indeed. So do you do any tours? Are you there available for certain events, special events, that type of thing?
Of course. If I am, the thing to do would be for people to contact the winery in a variety of ways and then see if I am there. Anyone listening now, visit my winery, and when you get there, stride up to the first person you see with a green vest upon, a period vest upon their persons, and say to them, I was told by the Count personally. But I should ask for him, because I heard him on the Bacchus and Beery Internet radio show, and he invited me for a tour, and if I am there, I will give them a tour.
Well, and I think the other thing that people need to realize is the availability of special events at Buena Vista. I know in my non-wine life, I was hosting a group, and we had an absolutely spectacular event where some great Buena Vista wines were sold. The service was fantastic. The food that accompanied the wine was fantastic. And our guests were entertained by the Count himself, sir, as you may recall.
I do, yes. Pleasant afternoon. And there's nothing like being at Buena Vista. It is the very first stone winery, the first the wine cellars dug into any hillside in California. I taught Charles Krug how to make wine. And so great wine in California began at Buena Vista, and we are happy to host all sorts of endeavors. There are weddings, of course. Curiously, my great-great-great-grandson, Vallejo Harris-Thee, or Val Harris-Thee, was married at my winery 38 years ago, and last year, his son, Kyle, my great-great-great-great-grandson, was also married at my winery. So it was a remarkable place, peaceful, quiet. You were in a canyon all by yourself, the road far away, regular life far away. Nothing
so
like
business. We just have about a minute left, and let me leave you with one question. If you were going to have one Buena Vista wine, which would it be?
The Count. The Count Founder's Red Wine. It is a delicious blend. It is soft and supple tannins. exotic spices. The flavors change in your mouth as you taste the wine. An excellent wine for a wide variety of dishes, pastas, even a grilled swordfish does very well with the Count Founders Red Wine, available at a store near you.
Well, Count, thank you very much for joining us. You know, we love the product. We love Buena Vista, and we love hanging out with you. Until next time.
Until our next glass of wine.
And, thank you.
And your lovely lady speaks up at the very end. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Count. How are you?
I'm pleased to hear your voice.
Thank you. And I do love your Count wine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us this week for Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. Roger and Donna Beery will be back again next Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope your weekend gets started with a beautiful glass of wine.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.